shoes?
What's the matter, Morty?
Coral, the Sphinx.
Pinch my arm, old dress.
Coral, the Sphinx.
Great gowns.
Coral,
beautiful gowns.
Fashion has changed.
Coral,
no, it hasn't.
Hi, my name is Lauren Garoni.
I'm Chelsea Fairless.
And you awake yet, Chel?
I'm barely awake. I had to get Lauren to make me some espresso. I don't know. Does anyone else have this? Like, does it take you? Sometimes it takes me like 4 hours to wake up on certain days. I don't know why. It has nothing to do with how much or little sleep I've gotten. It's just like a thing, you know?
This has been happening the last few days with you.
Yeah, I go through periods. And then I convince myself that I have chronic fatigue syndrome and start to stress out. And then I go back to feeling normal again in the mornings. I don't know what it is.
What is chronic? I mean, I guess it's self-explanatory, chronic fatigue.
I do not know what chronic fatigue syndrome is. It's like such a popular thing. Or not popular, but like common.
Okay.
My school bus driver had it, actually.
Seems like a not the best job if you're chronically fatigued driving
young
children around.
I know, but it's like she
around.
Could do the bus in the morning and then was like done for the day.
So you're on the opposite schedule. You can only do things for 4 hours from the afternoon to early evening and then you're done.
Exactly. Speaking of school children.
Oh, no.
No, I got my car towed for the first time since I lived in L.A.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I did park in front of an elementary school that was very much a tow-away zone, but I still feel victimized by the city of Los Angeles.
I thought what you were going to talk about are the school children noises, because when you moved into this apartment, they were like, oh, yeah, a school's across the street, and you were like, whatever, because the pandemic was going on, and who knew when school was coming back, but I guess they're back, baby.
Well, they're not back. That's the thing. It's like when school's in session, it's like, I don't think this like shitty summer school where there's like 20 kids hula hooping 6 feet apart with masks on, like really counts as this school being open.
Ergo, it was unfair that your car got towed.
Yeah. And it was at the saddest place. Like when I went to pick it up, it was like jail for cars, you know?
That's exactly what it is. Well, while you were getting your car towed, I was getting recognized.
Oh my God. What do you mean? For this?
Yeah, someone recognized me for the podcast, complimented the podcast. This never happened, so I don't even know how to refer
That's
to it.
So as. Major. I mean, we've definitely been recognized like from like before we had the podcast, but no one's ever come up to me anyway and said that they were a fan.
And I don't know how, because I was wearing a mask. I was holding my dog. This happened while getting coffee. So I thought the conversation was going to be about my dog, because it usually is. It's usually like, how old is he? Where did you get him? I'm like, is a Pomeranian? I don't know how old he is. That's the whole conversation usually. I want to do a frequently asked questions and print it out, but that feels a little passive aggressive and presumptuous.
Yeah, that would be literally psychotic. But what did he say? What were you wearing, most importantly?
I was wearing gym clothing.
So you weren't looking your best.
I mean...
You're like, my body looks great, but the outfit left something to be desired.
Absolutely. This gentleman was like, are you Lauren? And I was like, fuck, I hope I know who this person is. And I was like, yes. And he was like, I love the podcast. I was like, oh my God, thank you. And I didn't.
That's so nice. Shout out to that guy. I know. What was he wearing?
Also gym clothing.
Okay, so he didn't judge you.
No, it was 9:30 on a Wednesday. But I feel bad for not asking his name, because now I'm talking about it on the podcast. I just was so shocked and overwhelmed. He said that he has lived here for 4 years, and when he listens to our podcast, it feels like chatting with his friends in
London.
I mean,
should we just like straight up hang out with him? Like, what's the vibe?
Yeah. shall we meet and go get him Tiger at West Hollywood again at a prescribed time? Please DM us. We want to be friends. And by friends, we mean we mostly want to be complimented.
Love that for you.
Thank you. I mean, and also for you.
Maybe you wouldn't have recognized me. Maybe I would have looked too ugly in person compared to like my online presence, you know?
You have a voice for podcasting?
Exactly.
You have a face for podcasting.
Yeah.
No. I was wearing a mask and my hair was bad. I had no idea how he recognized me. It must be from the dog.
Speaking of podcasting, I don't know what we're going to talk about this week, because this has been a really slow news week, don't you think?
I mean, we have some stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we'll obviously find things to talk about. But one thing that I guess we could talk about is Lizzo's new music video for the song Rumors featuring Cardi B.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed that it wasn't a cover of Lindsay Lohan's Rumors.
As was I.
I mean, Cardi gets a feature, but not Lindsay? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I want to preface this by saying that I like Lizzo as an artist and I want her to succeed in all areas, but...
Don't make Lizzo cry. She's already cried once this week.
I definitely don't want to cyberbully Lizzo either because her feelings do matter to me. And I don't even really want to talk shit about the song. I mean, maybe the song isn't great. It has a few too many horns in it my liking. It's too horny.
It's too horny for you?
Too much brass. But that's a personal thing. You know, it's kind of giving me like Christina Aguilera back to basics vibes.
It is a little puzzling that, you know, there's been just like a dearth of...
good songs?
There's just been a dearth of summer bangers, and it's a little weird to release one in the middle of August.
We didn't have one this year. To me, the video was like a complete disaster. It looked like an educational computer game about ancient Greece from the 90s.
It did look like one of those interstitials they do between Disney shows in the 90s where it's like, this is what life in ancient Greece was like.
Totally. Also, I don't know what ancient Greece has to do with the concept of rumors and like haters talking shit and stuff.
Oh, I think Socrates was such a shit talker. Are you kidding me?
Such a troll.
Well, I guess the inspiration for the video is from the 1997 Disney animated film Hercules, which I never saw.
Which is like already a terrible reference. Let's be real.
We had grown out of Disney by then. We were already watching like Michael Haneke films.
Yeah.
Lizzo, when are you going to do a piano teacher inspired music video, huh? You want to talk about Brave?
Oh, that I would live for. Yeah, it's like the clothing and jewelry was awful. The bodysuit that they made for Lizzo was just like words can't even describe. I mean, even the Grecian dresses, which you would think would be like a hard thing to fuck up, just like as an item of clothing, it's like the cheapest Lurex I've ever seen in my life.
It felt a little Party City.
It felt like they were trying to do Schiaparelli Couture on a wardrobe budget, and it just didn't work. And it did a disservice to the artists in the video. Although Cardi looked kind of cool, but I think that was mostly just because she was pregnant, and like pregnancy like adds a lot to a thotty Grecian outfit.
And also just a rap aesthetic in general. I think about that Grammys where MIA was like 8 months pregnant. She came out to rap a verse with
Jay-Z. Major. Yeah, so major.
It's interesting because I feel like what Cardi was trying to say is like the titty plate is here to stay.
Yeah.
This is an agenda that's been pushed by Daniel Roseberry of Schiaparelli, even though what she was wearing was not Schiaparelli.
Yeah, but it was trying to look like that. And because she was wearing Schiaparelli earrings, it, I think, made it questionable to the average viewer. Could be.
Right, I guess.
Although we can obviously tell it's just not.
No, it was sculpted by Misha Japanwala, who is an artist who was also behind the cast piece that Cardi wore when she revealed her second pregnancy. So I'm kind of into that as a maternity look in general.
I just think for such a big single, this really called for some major customs from some major designers.
Is this a new feature we should start, which is how we would have dressed them? Are we going to become those people?
If it was me, I would have gotten more than two looks. Like, there's only two looks in this video that Lizzo has. The Grecian dress should have been like a Versace or like even like a Norma Kamali goddess dress that she's made for 10,000 years.
Even like an Alaya separate, I could see.
And then like the bodysuit could be like a Mugler vibe. And then like a third look that's like some sort of Versace Greece vibe.
Yeah.
But alas.
Guys, I want to talk about hair thinning for a second. It's a complicated subject. The thing is, it's actually much bigger than your hair alone. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health, and internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and grows. That's why I love Nutrafol's whole body approach, which multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker, stronger hair. Everyone's root causes of hair thinning are different, so a one-size-fits-all approach to hair growth doesn't cut it. That's why Nutrafol has multiple formulas that are tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow throughout different stages, such as postpartum and menopause, as well as for different lifestyles such as plant-based diets. Nutrafol is also a quiz-based company, which I love. Go to Nutrafol.com to take their hair health wellness quiz. Identify causes of your thinning hair, and Nutrafol will give you a personalized plan for better hair growth through their whole body health approach. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. They know what they're doing. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter promo code ALFIT. Find out why 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code ALFIT. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code ALFIT.
This was not my job.
This was not our job. I have friends working on productions who are like being threatened to be shut down. So like, there's a part of me that's like, I get it. They're trying to do their best.
Yeah, of course. But
it's not good enough.
It just sucks. You know, like I said, we love Lizzo and want her to succeed. And it sucks when the team drops the ball around an artist, you know?
So you're blaming the team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, like I said, I don't think the song is, it's not my favorite, but I don't think it's bad. Right. I think she's a great artist. I think the music video sucks. I think the costume sucks. And I think that has an important role in shaping how people think about the song.
So it won't be on any of our Spotify playlists coming up?
No, I don't think so. But hopefully the second single will be more major.
All right, this was like oddly negative. I feel like we should talk about something that we're excited about. Shall
like
we?
What?
Well, Ryan Murphy continues to keep his neck on the American insert noun here story franchise by announcing American Love Story and American Sports Story.
So, yeah. So the Sports Story is about Aaron Hernandez, right?
Yes.
And then American Love Story is about JFK Jr. and
Carolyn Bessette.
Carolyn Bessette.
Yes. American Love Story is dedicated to sweeping true love stories that captured the world's attention. So the first one is obviously going to be about JFK and Carolyn Bessette. As described in the press release, what started out as a beautiful union for the young couple, widely regarded as American royalty, began to fray under the stress of relentless microscope and navel gaze of tabloid media. The pressures of their careers and rumored family discord ended with their tragic deaths when his private plane crashed into the ocean on a hazy summer night off the coast of Massachusetts.
That's one of those deaths where I remember where I was.
Yeah.
Do you?
I do. I remember waking up that Saturday morning, and I think my mom was glued to the TV and CNN just was playing that.
Yeah.
They were presumed missing at that point, but...
Yeah, I was at a slumber party, and also, yeah, when the news starts, reports started to come in that they were presumed missing. I was, like, glued to it for hours, and then they were like, there's the wing. Oh, fuck, that was so depressing. I mean, I was a big stan of that couple at the time. Yeah. I mean, everyone was, but, you know, yeah. I'm a Kennedy freak, so...
Are you really?
Yeah. Have you not seen? I literally have like books about JFK Jr. Like, I don't know why. I don't know.
In the house? No, I haven't seen it.
I also have read, I may not be a housewives person, but I have read Carol Radswill's memoir, What Remains.
Yes.
About this particular event.
It wasn't her wedding, was it?
I think it was her wedding.
I think this was debunked. Hold on one second.
Or was it her... I think Carol, or was Carolyn her, was like her best friend, basically, as I remember.
Right.
It's been a really long time since I read that. Maybe Carol was just going to the wedding. I don't know. I forget what the situation was.
Yeah, no, she got married in 94.
Who's playing Carolyn Bessette?
So this is an interesting question, because are we fan casting, or realistically, who would be cast? Because I do.
Let's do both. Like, for example, like, we can't cast Gwyneth Paltrow 20 years ago in this role, right?
Right.
But I would like to.
Just DH her? I mean, her husband, Brad Falchuk, is a producer on those.
Just make her look how she looked in, like, Great Expectations, and we're good.
Well, that's the whole thing that Marvel does, is they have that de-aging technology. It's
yeah.
Very uncanny valley.
I think it's especially hard with It Girls, because it's like... Carolyn Bessette did really have something in the way that, like, Gwyneth Paltrow, a Kate Moss, like, that thing. So just to plug in some random ingenue, like, almost doesn't really do her justice. Like, we need someone with the correct vibe.
So I have three actresses.
Okay.
All right. The first one is Lily Reinhart, who...
Who's that?
She's on Riverdale, but she was also in Hustler. She's the one that always gets sick when she tries to rob the guys at the strip
club.
Right.
Okay. Her.
So she's blonde. She's
how old is she?
See, this is the problem. Everyone I picked is in their like mid-20s, which I know is an issue, but like
that's not an issue.
So yeah, she's mid-20s.
Because didn't sorry, I'm just trying to remember the time frame. She died when she was in her like mid-30s, but they dated for like a long ass time before that. So it's like it would have to start in her mid-20s.
I think it works. I think Sophie Turner, who's married to Joe Jonas, she was on Game of Thrones. She's
again, I'm like, who the fuck is this?
She's very blonde and austere.
Uh-huh.
And then my third pick, just thinking about how Ryan Murphy likes to keep his stable going.
Right.
Of the actors that he cast.
Jessica Lange.
Jessica
Lange. D-H. Jessica Lange would be perfect.
Emma Roberts?
I mean, no.
I know, but...
definitely not her.
I'm just trying to think... oh, what? Sarah Paulson? In okay. Prosthetics?
My picks would be... Margaret Qualley, but blonde.
Ooh.
Someone, because like there aren't that many cool blondes, so I think we might need to find a brunette that can dye their hair. That Anna Taylor-Joy chick. Oh. I've never seen her act in anything.
She's very good, but she's like now very A-list. I don't...
she has that like icy vibe.
She does. My mom was like, oh, Rosamund Pike. And I'm like, Rosamund Pike is not going to be in a Ryan Murphy show.
Yeah, but also, isn't Rosamund Pike like 40?
Yeah, she's in her 40s.
And then my other thought is Elle Fanning. This is Elle Fanning's I'm a Big Girl Now role.
I thought about that too.
Yeah, I feel like this is a perfect thing for her. She's the right level of famous.
But very different features. That's the other problem.
I don't know. She's getting older. Like, she's not going to have that chubby baby face forever.
I more meant she has very big eyes and very juicy lips. And Carolyn Bessette had almond eyes and, like,
whatever,
thinner
they'll
lips.
Contour her. It's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it. So who's playing him?
I literally have no picks.
I was thinking Robert Pattinson.
Okay, he's never going
he's
to
He's too
do...
famous?
Yes.
What about Henry Cavill? He has the right look, right?
Oh my God, his body is so different. He would have to lose like 40 pounds of muscle.
Whatever. He was, JFK was buff.
I think these people are way too famous. I think it's going to be like an unknown British actor that can do an amazing American accent. What I also find fascinating, and I know this is like inside Hollywood bullshit that you won't care about, but Ryan Murphy signed like one of the biggest TV production deals with Netflix for reportedly $300 million. But because his kind of most famous franchise, The American, again, as I say, insert noun here, story.
So right now he just has American Crime Story and American Horror Story.
Right.
And soon to be American Love Story, American Sports Story. What else can we do?
Oh, I have a pitch for you.
Okay.
American Reincarnation Story? Get a little Super Soul Sunday in this?
Wait, I feel like I've seen that movie. Anyway, continue.
No, I just find it interesting that, like, he's supposed to have this exclusivity with Netflix, and he keeps making FX shows.
Right.
He's like, what about this one? What about this one?
Well, I get it. I mean, he, as a creator, really does own the concept of an anthology series. Like, it makes sense that he'd just be kind of churning out more anthology series in different genres. But it's weird because, like, the fact that these are American stories, like, is kind of irrelevant. Like, it doesn't... I mean, I guess maybe in the case of JFK Jr. and Carolyn Bessette, that's like more relevant, and like also the impeachment one. But most of the time, it's like, what does it have to do with anything?
You know what we missed? And when I was researching this story, what I saw, they have announced what the next season of American Crime Story is going to be.
What is it?
Studio 54.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes.
See, that just proves my point. Someone needs, they need to build the Studio 54 set on Tyler Perry's
studio
in Atlanta, just so people don't have to keep making that moon over and over again.
So Chelsea, how are you feeling? You feeling awake yet?
I'm still asleep, but now I have low-grade anxiety from the caffeine, so...
so the espresso backfired.
So I fucked up. I fucked up even worse. But it's totally fine. Speaking of people fucking up. So this week there was major drama in New York's downtown fashion scene. Givenchy's creative director Matthew M. Williams was accused of copying the work of the late fashion designer Benjamin Cho, who incidentally is Williams' former boyfriend. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with Benjamin Cho, he had a namesake label in the early 2000s. He was also downtown famous because he used to DJ the Smiths Night at Sway, which was the party at the time. Did you ever go?
I did. I mean, it was a Sunday night party, we should say.
Yeah.
It's sort of hard once you're out of college and actually have a 9-to-5.
Totally. I mean, I definitely went, but it was on the tail end of its relevance. Like, that was a party that lasted for a very long time.
Yeah, if we were going post-financial crisis, that wasn't the time to go.
Yeah, no, 1,000%. So, quite tragically, Benjamin Cho passed away a few years ago, and now his ex is pilfering his legacy, I guess.
This series of posts became a space for the OG downtown scenesters of the early aughts to bitch about Matthew Williams. Unfortunately, her account has since gone private, but thankfully we did get a screenshot of a particularly juicy comment from the writer slash it girl Leslie Arfin that read,
"The same at Matthew M. Williams, who used Ben to social climb his way into any career possible when he was just Lady Gaga's boyfriend, but also Ben's boyfriend. Yeah, fuck him and fuck at Givenchy Official." So she's basically saying that Matthew Williams fucked his way to the top and was fucking Benjamin Cho and Lady Gaga simultaneously, which is definitely news to me, and I'm sure news to most people. I mean, I didn't know that he dated men at all. I have no idea how he identifies, by the way.
Yeah, he was married but recently divorced, and most notably in his Wikipedia, it says he dated Lady Gaga, so that's at least known.
Well, I also learned in his Wikipedia entry that he was the artistic director of House of Gaga.
I mean, we all got to start somewhere, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
So his story is he got rejected from Parsons.
Which is so rude because, like,
we got into Parsons.
Yeah, he may not be our favorite designer, but he's definitely deserves to go to the Parsons School of Design.
But that did not stop him. He had a stint with Kanye, stint with Lady Gaga. He would then start his own streetwear brand, Alex.
I mean, you wish it was called Alex. It's, wait, I wrote it down. How do you even say it? Is it 1017 or 1017 Alex 9SM?
I mean, to me, that just sounds like Elon Musk and Grimes' child. Is it not?
Yeah, it's giving me House of Harlow 1960 vibes personally, but yeah, there's far too many numbers. Basically, he started a brand and it's full of buckles. And because Givenchy clearly wanted to bring in a designer that was in the streetwear world, he was appointed as the creative director.
And also the dress in question that Matthew Williams stole or was inspired, heavily lifted from Benjamin Cho, is not even recent. It's from 6 months ago.
I don't know why it's popping off on the internet now. It actually, it's not popping off at all. I think we're the only people that are covering this.
We are aware that this is an esoteric topic that most people listening to this right now don't know what we're talking about, but we feel that it is important because designers can't get away with this. It's not okay.
Look, it's like when you are designing for a major fashion house, you can't reference the work of someone that's significantly less famous than you without crediting them, right? It's a power imbalance. It's kind of like when Nicolas Ghesquiere was at Balenciaga and he copied those patchwork Kaizik Wong vests, and all he needed to do was credit Kaizik Wong in the program, but because he didn't, it's just like you're stealing from this small obscure designer. And that's basically what Matthew Williams is doing with Benjamin Cho, which is really shitty because it's like the receipts are there. There's photos of them hanging out in the early 2000s. He obviously knew what Benjamin Cho's dresses looked like.
And now you have Chloe Sevigny in the Givenchy official's comments.
Hashtagging Benjamin Cho. Yes, along with that entire friend group.
It's weird, too, because it's so unnecessary because Matthew Williams could easily have gotten a Business of Fashion or New York Times style section piece about this.
Yeah, how I'm paying tribute to my late friend. You know, who was an innovative and underrated designer. But, you know, he was one of those people that had great ideas, but just couldn't create a commercially viable line, which is, let's be real, most people that are good designers, you know?
Yeah.
It's a completely other skill set to be someone like Matthew M. Williams. Anyway, rest in power, Benjamin Cho. Your work, unfortunately, lives on.
Non-consensually. Well, speaking of more fucked up things that have happened in the fashion industry, the model Carrie Otis has come forward with a lawsuit that says she was sexually assaulted by Gerald Marie, Elite Model Management's former European chief. The abuse Otis is claiming occurred in 1986 when she was 17. Since 2020, 11 women have come forward to allege sexual misconduct and rape against Marie, who categorically denies the allegations.
I think he's innocent. I don't know about you.
If the Elite Modeling Agency sounds familiar, that would be because Julia Hart, star of My Unorthodox Life, now runs the agency.
Yeah, we meant to get into the history of Elite when we were talking about My Unorthodox Life and whatever episode that was.
But yeah, Chelsea
we totally
was too,
forgot about it.
Yeah, Chelsea was too busy trying to convince me it was a good show.
Yeah, Elite does have a very dark history.
I don't even know where you want to dive in.
And among one of the darkest details being that several of these rapes occurred in the apartment that he shared with Linda Evangelista when she was gone, basically.
Yeah,
when she,
yeah, so the model Linda Evangelista in 1987 married Marie. And when these allegations came out about a year ago, she gave a statement saying, "I knew nothing of these sexual allegations against him, so I was unable to help these women. Hearing them now, and based on my own experiences, I believe that they are telling the truth." Which, like, that's quite the subtweet.
Yeah, and I guess, like, Carrie Otis is actually going to, or she said that she intends to pursue a civil case against him, which is possible because, I don't know if it was last year, a couple years ago, they, like, expanded the statute of limitations, basically, for civil cases.
I don't know. But in the Women's Wear Daily article about this, I saw a detail that I haven't seen anywhere else, which she's also accusing a model scout named Trudy Tapscott of basically being like the Ghislaine Maxwell to Marie's Jeffrey Epstein, essentially. Yeah. That she knew what he was doing to girls and she's the one that placed Carrie in his apartment to stay with him.
I'm really genuinely curious about the mindset of these women.
The models or the model scout who is putting
them
in the...
These weird, like, trafficker, madam, yeah. Like... It's easier for me to understand the Jeffrey Epstein or whatever than it is for me to understand the Ghislaine. Or how do you even say her name? I still don't know.
Ghislaine.
Should I tell my story about meeting her once?
Get into it, yes.
So... when I worked at V-Files,
she
I don't
was
know.
Like, "Are you a masseuse? Would you like to come to my friend Jeffrey's house?"
Yeah, I was just walking down the street and the window rolled down. No, I was just
by the way, we're using humor to deal with a dark issue. We're not laughing.
No, we
at the
really
situation.
Need to like figure out how to pronounce her name, though. The fact that I still don't know is crazy.
It's funnier to say Ghislaine. It's Ghislaine.
Ghislaine.
But tell me it's not more satisfying to say Ghislaine.
It is, yeah, Ghislaine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
There's no need to put respect on her name, by the way.
You say Ghislaine, I say Ghislaine.
Go on.
So this was maybe like 6, maybe 7 years ago. I was just working at my computer. My boss comes in and announces to the entire office that Ghislaine is here and she is going to talk to you about something really important, which was saving the ocean. She had this nonprofit that was basically like all about like petitioning the United Nations to designate the ocean as its own country so it could be like regulated.
Right. Not ruined by corporations.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, she gave a nice Save the Ocean speech and she, you know, shook our hands and left. Although we did like make a collaborative T-shirt with her. Ocean nonprofit, which I'm currently just like, I have like eBay and Grailed alerts set for it. I haven't been able to find it yet. But yeah, we gave it out at like one of our fashion shows. It was on everyone's seats.
Oh my God.
And then it wasn't until like years later, like one of my colleagues pointed it out to me, like, did you know that that was, that Ghislaine was this Ghislaine? Anyway, so that was my brush with, and I also met Harvey Weinstein too, but that's a story for another time.
These people have nothing to do with the story we're talking about, but Elite has had a history kind of marred in sketchy behavior. Its founder, Julian Casablancas, I guess, was very aware, certainly by the 80s and 90s, of Marie's behavior. He was even quoted as saying, calling Marie a sleaze who, quote, beats up women and rapes them. I don't know if Casablancas is one to talk, seeing that he at one point was fucking a 15 or 16 year old Stephanie Seymour, depending on which story you hear, when he was still married to his second wife, who would be the mother of Julian Casablancas, frontman of the Strokes.
Fuck, I forgot about that connection. I thought he just had a really fabulous last name. That was like that bit of information about Julian Casablancas was lodged so deep in my brain. Yeah. It was basically next to the plane crash with Travis Barker and DJ AM, which I also completely fucking forgot about, but we'll get into in a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty obvious that while Julia Hart is clearly an inspiring and capable businesswoman,
girl boss,
it is strategic that they have brought in a woman to be the CEO. I mean, this is kind of the equivalent of if Georgina Chapman was like forced to run Miramax, which honestly is a movie I would love to see.
Yeah, that's a Shonda Rhimes show waiting to happen, absolutely.
I mean, and it's very obvious that, like, even on Julia Hart's reality show, it's like they're very consciously positioning her as this woman who's on a one-woman mission against misogyny and rape culture and stuff.
One six-inch stiletto at a time.
Yeah, but, like, there's literally, like, several plot lines that speak to this theme. And I think that's part of that is, like, it's interesting for the show, and part of that is part of a broader rebranding of Elite.
There's no good transition to do this, but do you want to discuss Linda Evangelista's hooey romantic history?
Sure. I mean, Kyle MacLachlan,
yes,
being the best person she's dated, right?
For many, many years. And it's given the interviews with Linda Evangelista and what we're about to tell you with other romantic partners later on, I don't understand how they jive together. She seems like a very demanding person. Love
Maybe
her.
Maybe Kyle brought out the best in her. Plus, they were both so beautiful at that time. Like, if you just Google, like, Kyle MacLachlan, Linda Evangelista, Steven Meisel, you will see some truly stunning photos from the 90s. We'll put it in the show notes.
They did one or two Barney's catalogs when that used to be a thing.
Yeah, I think they did a couple of them. Yeah, they were a really hot couple. They went to the Met Gala together. Like, that was a really major moment.
When the Met Gala was prestigious.
It was less prestigious, but it was cooler. I feel like it wasn't that hard to get an invite to the Met Gala like 20 years ago.
So her romantic life was most recently in the news, which felt like a few years ago, but I guess it was a decade ago, because she had a child with François-Henri Pinault and took him to court for child support.
Right.
Which at the time she was asking for the most in family court history, which was nearly 50 grand a month.
So that's still less than $10,000 a day if you do the math, you know?
Yes. Linda Evangelista most famously said, "I will not get out of bed for less than $10,000 a day." What I find interesting is the actual quote is, "Christy and I," referring to Christy Turlington, "have a saying that we don't get out of bed for less than $10,000 a day." And she always got tagged with that. But, you know, she's also
she tried to drag Christy down with her.
But she couldn't. Anyway, François-Henri Pinault is married to Selma Hayek. Also, he is the guy that owns Balenciaga and Gucci, French billionaire.
Yeah.
In the court hearing, he said that they only went on 7 dates, he and Linda Evangelista. And when she got pregnant, he asked her to terminate the pregnancy. And she said, no.
Not this billionaire fetus, please.
What do you think I've been working for all this time?
We should not reduce her to this, actually, because let's be real. Linda Evangelista is basically the best model, maybe the greatest that ever lived in terms of range, right?
Her, Naomi.
I think she might even have more range than Naomi. I don't know. Naomi's great. It's her and Naomi are like the top.
Yeah.
But Linda, I feel like, can do like Linda can like be a man. Linda is the most fucking verse model in history. Linda is how you model. Linda is no Kendall Jenner. Okay?
I was just about to say. But anyway, of the things she was claiming that why she needed the $50,000 a month for her son with the billionaire was that not only for her apartment, but they needed a secondary apartment for playdates. She needed security, of course. And I tried to find documentation of how it got resolved. I'm sure there's some resolution, but
I kind of agree with her. Like, if he's a billionaire, surely he can afford $50,000 a month.
Yeah, I worked it out. It's only $600,000 a year. That's nothing.
That's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, that's like rents at the Gucci flagship store in Beverly Hills.
She also was with that football guy for a while whose name escapes me.
Fabian Barthez?
I guess. I mean, you could say literally any name and I'd be like, yeah, that guy. I don't know. I just remember that he was pale and bald. Anyway, Linda Evangelista is iconic, even though not all of her boyfriends have been tens. Just Kyle MacLachlan, I guess. So this week, Shine, or is it Sheen? We still don't know how to pronounce this.
You know what? We're middle-aged to geriatric millennials. We're not supposed to know how to pronounce it.
But some geriatric millennial listening to this might have a teenager that, like, shops there.
Someone let us know. Yeah. From now on, we're
going to... I'm just going to call it Shine.
Yeah, it's Shine, guys.
Shine announced this reality competition show, basically, called the Shine 100K Challenge, which is basically a Project Runway type thing where they're picking young designers, forcing them to compete against each other, and the winner will get 100K.
Well, it's a budget Project Runway, so there are 30 emerging designers who will then compete to make it down to the final five. Those five will be flown to Los Angeles for the finale for and a once-in-a-lifetime chance to be mentored by the judges one-on-one. How bummed would you be if you got Khloe? You'd be like, so good American.
Yeah, so the judges are Khloe Kardashian, La Roche, Christian Siriano, Jenna Lyons, and Laurel Panton, all of whom have been criticized online for participating in this because, as we know, Shine is kind of the worst end of fashion just because their clothes are literally like $7, right?
Yeah, and it has incentivized children basically to buy like 200 pounds of clothing.
And they copy a lot of young designers. You know, that's another thing that, like, they're always getting shit for.
Yeah, and so the grand prize winner will get $100,000, and then their creations will be showcased during Shine's Fall-Winter 2021 virtual fashion show and streamed to millions globally.
So all the judges cross-posted the same graphic on Instagram. I only really looked at the comments for Christian Siriano and Jenna Lyons, who both kind of doubled down and are basically like, I'm blocking people and deleting comments and stuff.
Jenna Lyons has turned her comments off.
I'm not saying that these people should do this. I'm just saying that the amount of money that they must have been offered to participate in something that is clearly this lowbrow must be beyond our wildest dreams.
What is your price to sell your soul, Chelsea? A million? 2 million?
Like million? Literally way less than that.
Yeah, so Jenna Lyons in her post said that, you know, listen, there are a lot of comments about Shine. I appreciate the feedback and everyone getting a chance to say how they feel. The reason I participated, if you're interested, is because the entire process was designed to support young designers and all the contestants were incredibly talented, passionate, and deserving of a chance at winning $100,000. How about you donate some of your fee, which I'm sure was probably closer to $1 million, and give it to these designers. Like, it does feel very Hunger Games-y that 30 go down to five and only one get $100,000.
Yeah.
Dollars.
Which look, I love Jenna. I'm not going to talk shit. But I will say that I don't think that this merited a response from her. I think she should have just turned off her comments. But I think the funniest thing about this is how all of these personalities are described in the announcements. Okay, so Khloe Kardashian is a personality and entrepreneur. La Roche is an image architect, which...
Fine.
Yeah, well, when I looked closer, it said image architect, but then there was a small copyright symbol. So I was like, did La Roche copyright the phrase image architect? He did, Lauren. I looked it up. Okay, I can't prove that it was him because it has been registered to 121259 Inc., which is located in Los Angeles in the area code that's like Fairfax, the Grove, like over right there. And it's trademarked for personal stylist services, namely evaluating the physical attributes, lifestyle, and fashion styles of others and recommending clothing and accessories to achieve the personal image desired by the client. So styling, basically.
Oh, La Roche definitely trademarked the phrase image architect.
Just call yourself a stylist. What the fuck?
He's an image architect.
Actually, I'm an image architect, but I love how his people must have, like, in their conversations with Shine, be like, he's an image architect, but you have to have the little trademark symbol because we've actually
trademarked that phrase.
So
you can't change Tats business cards from stylist to image architect.
Image architect. No, that's a La Roche only thing. It's like, I'm sorry, but I don't think calling in some Valentino samples for Zendaya is like being an image architect, but whatever. Christian Siriano is described as an American fashion designer. I don't see how his nationality is relevant here, but whatever. Jenna Lyons is described as the founder of Love Scene, her eyelashes brand, but in this case, I actually think creative director is the most applicable to her body of work. And then Laurel Panton, the only one with a normal description, who is the style director of InStyle magazine.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I think Jenna Lyons' post is super extra. My favorite part was that she says, I encourage you to, one, maybe take a look at it and see what you think before jumping to conclusions. I mean, we did, and we don't think it's great. But, and then she goes, two, if you have a private Instagram and feel the need to make a negative comment, I deeply appreciate if you read a quote titled The Man in the Arena by Teddy Roosevelt. So I'm like, okay, what what is this? And by the way, it's not a quote. It's like a whole paragraph. So The Man in the Arena, I guess that was uttered by Teddy Roosevelt, known gadfly. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. I think she's talking about us. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust, sweat, and blood. Okay, Jenna, you posted one Instagram thing and you're going to be at one event in LA face to face with one of the contestants.
I'm not talking shit.
All right, I'll be the voice of the audience. I guess instead of dust on her face, she's got her love scene eyelashes. She's like, I'm doing the work. Don't pull away. You were laughing when I said that. She moved away from the mic so you guys couldn't hear. Anyway, I guess we'll be tuning into this. We have to see what the designers are. Yes.
Oh, God.
To round things out, Page Six has run a very hysterical article stating that the Met Gala has gone from being super prestigious to being full of influencers.
Yeah, it's sponsored by Instagram. Of course it's going to be full of influencers. They're buying tables just like everyone else.
Yeah, and by the way, full of influencers, allegedly the two confirmed would be Emma Chamberlain and Addison Rae.
Right.
As if we've forgotten that James Charles, who might be the original Sin influencer, was at the camp show in 2019.
He was also dressed by Alexander Wang. I can't imagine we'll have an exact repeat of that this year, but I just want to see Instagram influencers that I care about there.
Such as?
Like some of the animals.
I'm sorry?
Like, you know how I follow all those like fat seal accounts? Like, I would love to see fat little seals, like, flopping up the steps of the Met, you know, wearing little Prada wetsuits.
I think PETA would certainly have a problem with that.
Whatever.
It's also interesting. So we referenced this a little bit when we were talking about Linda Evangelista and Kyle MacLachlan, but there seems to be a fundamental misunderstanding of what the Met Gala is, or at least was. It was an industry event. Or it was mostly for people that were in the Upper East Side philanthropic circles. Like, it was a very insular event.
It's about funding the Costume Institute. So that's transitioned from being a combination of celebrities and having brands buy tables and invite celebrities and then have just like general rich people and socialites. And
by celebrities, we mean truly the designer's friends that they just invited out that night.
Yeah.
Not like, ooh, Emma Chamberlain's popular, we should probably invite her.
But now it's like, it's bigger than ever and they're making more money than ever from it, which is good. So I don't really care if like Emma Chamberlain or whatever is there. I still don't know what she does, but it's fine. Like, there's plenty of celebrities I actively ignore. Like, I never know who like half of the models are at the Met Gala.
For sure. And this Page Six article, the person they quote seems to be a producer, a publicist, or a manager agent that's acting as if like, well, I might pull my A-list actor because these people are there.
Oh yeah, fuck off.
They're acting as if Anna Wintour has no agency in this. She's the one okaying the guest list.
Yeah.
So if somehow she thinks that Addison Rae is good, then she's the one who made that decision.
I mean, didn't they have like an influencer like replace Andre Leontali?
Oh, to do interviews?
Yeah.
If it wasn't us, I don't care. But honestly, I think Anna Wintour doesn't go far enough. It's like if she wanted to boost sales of Vogue, she should be putting these fashion anointed YouTubers on a cover of Vogue.
Yeah, I mean, should she? I think it's about celebrities.
For sure.
I don't think it's about models or influencers right now. I think it's about, like, good old-fashioned celebs.
Who do you define as a good old-fashioned celeb?
Oh, you know, like Beyonce or Angelina Jolie.
Right.
I care more about that than, like, another Kaia Gerber cover, you know, of which we've had two this year. Neither of which have been that interesting, but whatever.
So anyway, guys, it's going to be fine. It's going to be great looks. Hopefully someone's in a denim on denim look. I will riot if J-Lo is not there with Ben Affleck, though. That'll be me being the unnamed source for a Page Six article.
Kardashian time?
Absolutely.
Kardashaholics Anonymous.
This is a case for the FBI.
Chelsea, do you believe that love can cure all? Because I do now. Because Kourtney Kardashian...
The answer is no.
Because Kourtney Kardashian's love has cured Travis Barker's fear of flying.
Tell me more.
Travis Barker, for the first time since surviving a deadly plane crash in 2008, hopped aboard a plane with Kourtney to go to Cabo San Lucas.
I totally forgot about the plane crash. I forgot that DJ AM, like, existed. I didn't realize that he had third-degree burns over 65% of his body, which is extremely fucked up.
So he always had a fear of flying. He had a bad feeling before this specific flight, called his own father to be like, I have a weird feeling about this one. Tell his kids that he loved him. And then I think as it was taking off the runway, it crashed. The two pilots and Travis's two friends, his assistant, his bodyguard who were with him, passed away. And somehow he and DJ AM survived. And the burns came from he ran back onto the plane to like grab his friends out and couldn't.
Ugh. It's terrible.
And since that day, he's vowed to never be on a plane again. And then he posted on Twitter on June 25th of this year, I might fly again.
Well, he started dating a Kardashian, and you can't not fly.
You can only drive to La Quinta so many times.
Yeah, I mean, it's flying on private jets is what they do as a family. That and, like, throwing parties for each other.
So, yeah, he posted a photo that said, with you, anything is possible. He's holding her. They're kissing in front of the private jet. Did you notice whose private jet that is?
No.
That would be Kylie's own $72 million private jet.
What a nice sister.
Do you think they have to pay for gas or is it a gift? What?
Speaking of Kylie, we have a new brand on the horizon.
Kylie Swim, baby.
We've only seen like 1.5 swimsuits from it thus far.
If you count all the edges of the Polaroids that she teased, I think it equals, yeah, about 2.5.
But the main photo that she shared is a photo of her wearing some sort of like yellow and pink ombre contraction that reminds me of the sort of clothes that like female bodybuilders wear in the 80s or wore in the 80s.
Will you be wearing it?
Yeah, sure. For sure. The annoying thing about it is that all I want is like Skims swimwear.
Next summer, I'm sure. I really hope so.
I really hope so.
Well, look, Kylie's usually the one first through the door and then Kim comes after her. You know,
Kim takes a little more time to like...
Well, what do they say? The first one through the door gets shot?
Yeah.
Like, she's like, no, you, Kylie, you do Kylie swim. See how that goes.
Also, can you believe that Kendall and Kylie still exists? Like, the brand?
Oh, I thought you meant them as just people.
No, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
They still have that brand.
They did have that fashion line.
Like, ugh. They don't have Dash. Like, no, Dash is gone, but, like, Kendall and Kylie remains.
My heart goes out to the probably freelance designers who have to design for that. What would you...
I doubt they're freelance. I'm sure Kendall and Kylie is, like, a very successful company with, like, several in-house designers.
Well, what would you rather buy? Would you rather have something from the Kardashian closet, which is where they sell?
Yes, of course. I want Kris Jenner's old Adidas tracksuit, but they always sell out before I have time to buy them.
Are you constantly on the Kardashian closet?
I'm not constantly, but every once in a while I check to be like, is there a Kris caftan? Is there a tracksuit? It hasn't happened for me yet. In an out list?
Yeah, let's do it. Do you want to do in or do you want to do out?
I'll do out this week.
So Margaret Qualley and Jack Antonoff kissing in front of Milk Bar is in.
I thought the photos were cute.
Yeah, for those who didn't see, I guess Jack Antonoff and Margaret Qualley debuted as a couple gallivanting around Lower East Side and grabbing some cookies from Milk Bar.
Seems like a cute pair to me, honestly.
Sure.
And Lorde's wig in the mood ring video is out. Did you see that?
No, I refuse. I'm not into this album. I'm not into this like Bobo Lana Del Rey. As soon as I saw the track title Stoned at the nail salon, I was like, what are we doing here?
It's like a fine song though.
All right.
What... I don't even know why I'm defending this. I don't really care about this album either, but you've got to see this wig.
All right. So Beyonce and Jay-Z's appointment as Tiffany & Co. brand ambassadors is in.
And J-Lo and A-Rod's ill-timed Hims and Hers campaign is out. Have you guys seen these ads? I like how I'm talking to the audience like they can respond.
Yeah, it's quite obvious that they took a meeting together when they were still a couple to do. She would do the Hers ads, he would do the Hims ads. But she's doing hair growth, vitamins, and he's stuck doing like Hims
foundation.
Yeah, Hims man concealer.
I thought that Hims and Hers was just vitamins and shit, so I actually went to look at the website, and it's like, you can get generic SSRIs at Hims.
And at Hims, you can get dick pills, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you can get, like, you know, Wellbutrin, Celexa, Cymbalta, Prozac, Pack, like, the gang's all here. It's crazy. And I guess the only difference is that it's delivered to you in, like, this minimalist ombre bottle.
Isn't that how you want to get your SSRI?
Yeah, that'll cure my depression. A gradient.
So Jennifer Klein's Day of Indulgence is in.
And us not being invited to Jennifer Klein's Day of Indulgence for the 21st consecutive year is out.
Okay, guys. For those who don't live in Los Angeles, I can't believe this event is still going on. It is essentially a gifting suite, but all of these legit celebrities show up to it. I thought...
Well, who's Jennifer Klein?
She's a producer. I, for years, thought she was a stylist. She's...
Well, what has she produced? IMDb Pro.
Okay, honestly, there are several Jennifer Kleins, but the best that I can figure is she's this Jennifer Klein.
Okay.
That is listed as a producer of something called Everest, which is a pre-production, an associate producer of Pearl Harbor. I don't know which Jennifer Klein she is. There's so
many. Does anyone know which Jennifer Klein?
Honestly, for years, I thought Jennifer Klein was a stylist.
She seems like an affluent woman that would have a jewelry line.
Well, because the only other Jennifer Klein who's a producer is a producer of like Celebrity Paranormal Project, a Biker Battleground Phoenix. And
okay,
like,
don't judge Jennifer Klein.
Either Jennifer Klein. Anyway, I thought the gifting suites had gone away. Like, this was something we lost in, like, the financial crisis or something. And an indulgence that we just don't do anymore.
Well, this one is noteworthy because A-list people come to this.
Every year. Honestly, it gives Just Jared content for days.
Yeah.
So, Jennifer Lopez was there. Tessa Thompson, Cynthia Erivo, Our Love from White Lotus, Alex Daddario was there. Issa Gonzalez on InStyle, which we'll put in the show notes. There's a very funny photo of Issa Gonzalez just sitting in someone's home office surrounded by like Sam Edelman bags or something.
Well, the weird thing about it is that it doesn't seem like they're getting really fancy shit. Like, this isn't like a Oscars gift bag or something. Like, at best, they're getting a pair of, like, J brand jeans.
Yeah, according to this InStyle article, it's like Laverne Cox grabbed a bag of sweet treats from See's Candy. Now, look... I would love free See's Candy. I'm not knocking that. I'm just simply saying it's like, you know, Benefit Cosmetic New Brow Pomade.
It's like as if these bitches can't buy their like Benefit bronzer from Sephora.
What I also love and is so perplexing is most gifting suites are before the Golden Globes or the Oscars, and they're at hotel suites. This is in some suburban mom's home in Brentwood.
Yeah, it's like almost like an Avon party or something, but with celebs.
Having said that, Jennifer Klein, whichever one you are, please invite us. We
yeah,
will go.
I need to come.
I need some gifted See's Candy.
Lauren, ask and ye shall receive.
Yeah, we had to briefly stop the podcast because we received a delivery.
It was not from Jennifer Klein. It was from Sarah Jessica Parker's wine company.
In Vivo.
We have a nice rosé and a Sauvignon Blanc. I would drink this now, but this is warm. Maybe we save this for next week. Hopefully we'll actually have Sex and the City news to talk about.
Well, next week, actually, we're going to discuss the Sex and the City episode.
Oh, we can drink it then.
There you go.
Thanks, SJP.
Yeah.
Cute. It came in a little influencer box and everything. Wow, we're really coming up in the world.
We're getting recognized. We're being sent things.
Yeah, please send us free alcohol, whatever it is.
We're
down.
We'll drink it on the podcast.
Yeah, and we'll give you a shout out.
All right.
Especially if there's any like nice like natural wine companies that want to like...
A pet nat.
Send me a nice skin contact vibe.
Moving on. So wearing black honey since the 1970s is in.
And discovering black honey on TikTok is out. Obviously, you added this one because I was not aware.
Yes, in my raging TikTok addiction at 2 a.m, I have discovered and I am now on Clinique's black honey side of TikTok. So a bunch of Gen Z people are finally discovering the OG kind of lip balm, lip gloss that is black honey.
Which is a truly iconic product, honestly. We are not getting paid to
discuss it,
but it really is fabulous. I associate it actually with, well, A, my mother, because she wore it and that's how I discovered it. And B, Madonna, because she wore it on the cover of Ray of Light.
Oh, yes. It's a universally beloved kind of neutral, but it's a deep color. It just is.
Well,
perfect.
It looks different on everyone. That's the other thing. It's kind of like dynamic.
Right. Well, I'm sure the black honey challenge is upon us. And you know what? Clinique needs this because Glossier essentially stole their entire brand identity.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they stole it so much as took what was successful about their marketing strategy and sort of minimalist packaging and then just like applied that to young people.
And also the idea of like just very minimal makeup as well.
Actually, I bought black honey a couple of years ago because I went into a Sephora and there was a display and it literally said, "Remember black honey?" And I was like, "Oh, actually I do."
And now a whole new generation saying, "Black honey, how do you do?"
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that Glossier hasn't copied Black Honey.
Emily Weiss is like, fuck, that was a 2022 release. And finally, this Daily Mail headline. Kourtney Kardashian gets pulled over by the sheriffs for speeding through Malibu Canyon after helping Travis Barker find the courage to fly again.
Love how they brought that back. I also love how in this photo, she's wearing a Poosh baseball hat.
Yes, I will say that I am very disappointed that we got an after instead of amid helping Travis Barker find the courage to fly again.
And Donda listening parties are out.
No more. Drop the album.
All right, this has been fun.
And just like
I'm
that.
I'm still not awake, but...
Oh, no.
And yeah, next week we're going to talk about a Sex and the City episode. We still haven't picked which one, though.
Maybe we'll put it up on stories and have you guys decide.
Yeah, like, would you prefer... What was it between?
We were going to do a season 4 episode. We were either going to do My Motherboard Myself, which is the episode where Miranda's mother dies, or All That Glitters, which has...
What's-his-face from White Lotus.
And you can stop DMing us. We know.
We do know. We know. We fucked up. We're sorry. Anyway, thank you guys, as always, for listening. Thank you to our new fan, and thank you to Sarah Jessica Parker for this bounty of wine.
We know you personally sent it to us.
All right. Bye, guys.